Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and welcome to Off in the SSA podcast, focusing on the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. I'm your host, Stu, and on today's show, Lamborghini debuts their brand new SC63 in IMSA, but how will they perform? Porsche are undefeated with the 963 so far this year, but can they avenge that late race crash that knocked them out of Sebring last year? And how will those penalized GTD cars rebound in round two? Can Ferrari and BMW back up their Daytona performances, or will they fall back to the rest of the pack? This and more as we dive into six storylines for you to follow at this year's 12 Hours of Sebring. Now, BMW have been a talking point since the first race of the LMDH era last year, and it hasn't always been for the right reasons. Their first race back at the 2023 Rolex saw them being pretty significantly off the pace and also struggling with reliability issues. Now, this is going to be somewhat expected in their first race with a new car, working out some of those gremlins, and then also considering that many of their competitors had significantly more on-track testing time than they did. However, they still finished last in the Manufacturers' Championship. And also, they occupied two of the bottom three spots in the full season teams championship once you excluded the part-time entries from last year. 2023 was certainly not a great start for them with this car, but they did have moments where they showed promise. Good performances at Sebring and Long Beach gave them hope, and then they showed great pace at the Glen, where they actually ended up picking up the win there. However, that win at the Glen does come with a slight asterisk. You see, they didn't actually cross the finish line first. Despite leading 39 of the final 47 laps, they were passed in the closing minutes of the race by the number 6 Porsche. As things would turn out, the number 6 would fail post-race tech and be moved to the back of the GTP result, giving BMW its first victory. This was their only victory of the 2023 season, and they still seek a win where they actually cross the finish line first. That being said, it's a huge 2024 season for the M-Hybrid V8. It's making its debut in the World Endurance Championship with a two-car effort from WRT. And when it comes to its stateside operation, there's really no more excuses. The team have had a full season to work through many of their issues, and it's time to start putting results up on the board. They need to prove that they can run well consistently and ultimately be in contention for race wins. As I just said, BMW had a pretty strong outing at Sebring last year. They picked up second place, but they also showed solid pace throughout the race. And while this may just be the second race of the IMSA season, I think it's going to go a long way to show how competitive BMW is going to be for the remainder of the year. Porsche are off to a flying start to their 2024 season. They won the Rolex 24 in the GTP class, edging out Cadillac in the final hour of that race. Then they went out and dominated the World Endurance Championship opener, where they swept the podium there. Yes, it's been a very strong start to the season for Porsche. And heading into Sebring, the number 7 looks to become the first team since Wayne Taylor Racing in 2017 to win the opening two rounds of the IMSA season. It's not going to be an easy task, but I think we actually have a pretty good shot at seeing that come to fruition. You see, last year, the Porsches had a pretty interesting 12 hours of Sebring. The cooler temperatures seemed to really suit the Porsches as they found themselves leading in the final hour of the race. However, it would not end well, as we all know. That infamous incident occurred, wiping out the two Porsches and the number 10 Acura very late in the running last year. But the key takeaway here, and what I'm going to be watching from Porsche at Sebring, is especially towards the end of that race, how does that car come to life? Can Porsche replicate what they did last year and have a really strong second half? If they can do that, then I think we could be talking about Porsche keeping that undefeated streak in 2024 alive. Now, it can be difficult to stay on top of all of the news from around the world of IMSA. That's why I'm working on yet another way to keep you in the loop. The S's is a weekly email newsletter curated by me with all the biggest IMSA news and analysis that you need to know. I bring together the best articles from the week, maybe a video that I think you should check out, and I put it all together in a quick and easy 5-minute read. Of course, in addition to the news, I'll give you my thoughts on everything that's going on in the world of IMSA. If you want to check that out and subscribe to the S's, you can head to offintheesses.com or click the link in the show notes. Now, of all the cars that are debuting in the 2024 IMSA season, this one is probably the most anticipated. The Lamborghini SC63 will join the IMSA grid for its first race in the GTP class. The car, which is being run by Iron Lynx, will feature Matteo Cairoli, Andrea Caldarelli, and Romain Grosjean behind the wheel. Now, I said this is the car's first race in IMSA, but it is not its first race ever. Earlier this month, the SE63 debuted in the World Endurance Championship. In that race, the car finished well down in the order, but it was overall a success for Lamborghini as they completed the entire race and gained some very valuable experience with that car in race conditions. Now, I think when it comes to Sebring, the main goal for Iron Lynx here is just going to be to get that car across the finish line. This is arguably the most grueling track that that car is going to have to compete on all year, and I think if they can make it to the end of the 12 hours of Sebring, that's going to be a very successful weekend for Lamborghini. As for it being competitive this weekend, I'm not really holding my breath. You see, this is only the second race for that car. All of the other manufacturers competed last season, have plenty of data and knowledge compiled that they can utilize to set up their car better and extract more pace out of their car. Now, that being said, I think if Lamborghini goes out here, has a good 12 hours of Sebring, then I think we could start to see them significantly improve as we head into the summer months, and especially at the 6 hours of the Glen. Ferrari and BMW, two brands that have decades of racing built into their DNA. And the two GTD brands that everybody's going to be keeping a very close eye on at Sebring. See, both Ferrari and BMW got off to a very strong start at the Rolex. BMW was in the running for a GTD Pro class win until a late race issue during a brake change caused them to fall a couple of laps down. Ferrari, of course, would inherit that GTD Pro win, and they backed that up in the GTD class with a second, third, and fourth. Both manufacturers were quick, and as it would turn out, both would be penalized by IMSA as they exceeded their allotted performance window during the race. Now, if you want to hear a bit more about those penalties, then you can check out a recent episode that I did where I dive into it a little bit deeper. But the takeaway here as we head into Sebring is that there's some real questions surrounding these cars. In particular, how much of the performance that they showed at the Rolex was real? And how much did they actually exceed the performance window of their car there? Now, the BMW does have a pretty strong track record in IMSA. Last year, they picked up 5 wins, including a Sebring win, en route to the GTD Class Championship. Ferrari, meanwhile, is much more of a question mark. Last year, the 296 only competed in the Michelin Endurance Cup rounds, with their best finish being 3rd in GTD Pro at the 6 Hours of the Glen. And while they have got some absolutely massive wins in some of the world's biggest endurance races with that 296, their Daytona performance was a little bit of an outlier considering their performance stateside. Both BMW and Ferrari seem to have great pace, but could we see them a little bit more negatively affected by BOP as we head into Sebring? They're certainly going to be cars to watch. Cadillac had a strong opening to their season at the Rolex 24, and they were one of the fastest cars on track all week long. In fact, had it not been for a late race full course yellow and a Penske perfect pit stop, then we could be talking about Cadillac and the number 31 being the points leaders heading into Sebring. Now, that didn't happen, and now the question turns to, can Cadillac carry that good momentum through from Daytona and into Sebring? Sebring has been very nice to the Cadillac in recent years as they've won 3 in a row and 4 of the last 5 Sebring 12 hours. But it hasn't always been smooth sailing. Last year, it looked like their strong run at the track may come to an end when the Acuras and the Porsches came alive in the second half of the race. However, Sebring is Sebring, and it can eat you up if you're not careful. Cadillac largely avoided many of the issues that plagued some of the other manufacturers in that race. Well, except for the 01 catching fire, and ultimately, they were able to pick up the win. I think Cadillac looks stronger heading into Sebring this year than they did last year. And if I were to pick anyone to win this race in GTP, I'm going with the Cadillac. You can't talk about a race at Sebring without talking about the bumps and the inevitable reliability issues that we're going to see. Reliability is the name of the game at Sebring, and there are some huge question marks for cars entering this year's race. Let's start with the GTD classes, and we saw a ton of reliability issues at the Rolex. Corvette had more problems than one would care to count. In GTD, the privateer AWA entries were having issues before the green flag even dropped for the race. And both of them would ultimately retire before the 3/4 mark of that race. They would fare a bit better in GTD Pro, but both of those cars were also out of contention in the late going. It is concerning coming out of the Rolex with all the issues that Corvette had, especially heading into the roughest track of the season. However, I don't think you can rule Corvette out of this one, no matter how bleak their Rolex 24 looked. Another one of those new GTD cars that struggled was the Ford Mustang. Only one of their three Mustangs finished the race, and the number 64 was classified 7 laps down. Not a strong opening race for that new car, and they're also going to be looking to rebound here in a very difficult Sebring race. And there's a GTP that I want to touch on, the Porsche 963. Yes, I know, the car has essentially done about 146 hours of on-track racing between the IMSA opener and the WEC opener. And I think a large contributor to their great track record so far this year is the reliability improvements that they made in the off-season. I mean, clearly they've worked quite well. But Sebring is a far cry from the smooth asphalt in Qatar and the high banks of Daytona. It's the roughest race of the season, and it's going to be a huge test of those reliability upgrades for the 963. That being said, if they can make it through the race without having any major significant issues, then I think we can largely put the reliability concerns with the 963 to bed. That's going to wrap things up though. Before you go, make sure that you are subscribed on your favorite podcasting app so you never miss an episode. You can also follow along with the show on X or on YouTube. Just look for Off in the S's. Also, a big shout out to all of the Patreon supporters. If you too want to support the show, you can head to patreon.com/offintheS's. Once again though, thanks for tuning in. I hope everyone has a great race weekend and doesn't go off in the S's.